about 55 minutes or so in length. And by my clock up on the wall there, we're starting a minute late, so we're already into my time. But we're gonna get it going here. So let's all stand together as Brother Williams leads us in singing, "O Come All Ye Faithful."
Join me together. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. On the second, sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God all,
glory
in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let
remain standing for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to become the sacrifice for sin. And Lord, may we, as we celebrate this season, never forget the reason for the season. And Lord, may we never forget that love came down that Christmas morning. And Lord God, I pray that we might never get over it. Lord, may we never lose the wonder of what you did for us. And Lord, I pray your blessing upon this service. I pray, dear God, that you would move and work in every heart. And I pray, Lord, that this would be a sacred time, a time for us as a people to, as it were, hit the reset button on our hearts and focus once again upon the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose wonderful name we pray. Amen. Remain standing as we sing, "What Child Is This?"
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, who shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ in love, the babe, the Son.
On the third is our last
soul, bringing him incense, gold, and myrrh, compass, and king to hold. King of Kings, salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrall Him. This is Christ, the King whom shepherds guard and angels sing.
Thank you, ladies. want to take this opportunity to say welcome to everyone. And I just am so thankful for the opportunity to come together. You know, I don't know about you, but I am more aware than ever before that Jesus, who came as a babe in a manger, very soon will come, not as a baby, but as the conquering Lord of glory. And I believe it's going to be much sooner than most of us may think. I believe that the signs of the times are all around us. And so I think of all the many places that you could have been tonight, the fact that you chose to be in the house of the Lord says something good about you. And we want to say thank you for your choosing to be here with us tonight. Now, with the lighting as it is, I can't see especially well all the way to the back. I see outlines better than I see faces. But perhaps we have some folks that are here tonight as guests. We prepared Brother Lyle with some gifts for our guests. If you're a guest with us tonight, not a member or regular attender, in the spirit of Christmas, we want to give you a gift to say thank you for being here tonight. I wonder if you just slip your hand up so that we might spot you and give you a gift just to say thank you for your visit with us here tonight. Anyone at all like that? Want to place a lovely gift in your hand? All right, we have some right up over here, and we thank the Lord for you. And I think there may be a few others that are just a little timid tonight, but we thank God for each one that's chosen to be in the house of the Lord. And if you're our guest and you receive a gift, keep that beautiful pen as a gift. And it is a beautiful pen, and also that information about Freeway Baptist. And if you have a chance to fill out that card, and later on in the service as we pass the offering plate, drop that card in the plate so that we may have a record of your visit with us here. I know that some folks came in a little late, haven't had a chance yet to even greet anyone. So I'm going to ask while my Aunt Arlene plays that next hymn, if y'all would just stand to your feet and find a few folks around you, wish them a Merry Christmas, and tell them you're glad they're here. In your places, as you're finding your way back to your places, Brother Williams is going to lead us in "Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne."
Let's sing. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in second heaven's arches ring when the angels sing, proclaiming thy royal decree. But of lowly birth didst thou come to earth, and in great humility, oh, come to my heart. There is room in my heart.
as our last.
When the heavens shall ring, the angels sing at thy coming to victory. Let thy voice call me home, saying, yet there is room at my side for thee. My heart shall rejoice for Jesus when thou comest and callest for me.
Pastor Chapel.
Before our ushers come to receive our evening offering, I want to just say that there are several people in our church family that are standing in the need of special prayer. And of course, many of you have remained steadfast in prayer for Ken and Alice Norum, and it is great to see Alice and her family here tonight. Pray for Brother Ken as he's in the hospital. Had the opportunity to visit with him yesterday for a little while, and he doesn't seem to be doing real well. And so if you would keep him in your prayers at this time. Also, one of the most faithful ladies that our church has known in recent years is Helen Jones. She can't come out to the evening services because of age and physical limitation, but she never misses a Sunday, and she missed on Sunday, and we got a little concerned and tried to find her, and finally on Monday discovered that she was also in the hospital, and she suffered a fall in the tub, and fortunately she didn't break any bones, but through the examination that they conducted, they determined that she has tuberculosis. And she will be in the hospital at least for 2 to 3 weeks, they're telling her. And so if you'd pray for Helen, she really doesn't have anyone, no family in the area. She has a landlady that looks in on her from time to time. And you are her family. And I just think sometimes we come to a moment like this and we can't wait to bolt and run to get to the family gatherings. And we fail to remember the fact that this is all the family gathering that many people will enjoy this holiday season. And so before we get in a hurry just to run off, remember that there's somebody that needs you to look them in the eye, somebody that needs you to hug their neck, give them a warm handshake, and just let them know that you're thinking of them and praying for them. Many others that are going to be facing a Christmas for the first time without a loved one. And I believe that we need to keep all of these in prayer and in mind. And certainly our church family has had its more than its share, really, of losses in recent days. And so my heart is going out to so many people who are going through so many things that are of a great difficulty and a heavy consequence. And so I want to just encourage you as you begin to celebrate, remember how fortunate you are and how blessed you are. And think of those who are in straits that are less than what we would want to be in this Christmas. And thank the Lord for what He's blessed us with. But remember to keep these dear folks lifted to the Lord in prayer. While we're heavy-hearted about some things, our hearts have been lifted in recent days. Some better news coming from the doctor in behalf of Sarah and LaCroix. And it's good to see you tonight. And we've prayed, and the Lord is answering prayer there. And we're going to continue to keep them lifted to the Lord in prayer as they're continuing to be monitored and under a doctor's care, but praise the Lord that some of the news that we feared did not come to pass. And so God is in the business of answering prayer. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm grateful to the Lord for that. At this time, I'm going to invite the ushers to come if they would. And this is a Wednesday evening. It's our normal midweek service time. And is this Wednesday evening? Okay, good. I thought it was. It's been such a blur in the last few days, you know. We normally receive an offering. If you're our guest, please know that we have not invited a single person ever this year or at any time with the intent of having them to care for the needs of the ministry. And so this service is our gift to you. But to those that call this place home, may you give not to the church, not to the pastor, but may you give to the Lord Jesus, who gave you so much because of Christmas. And may God bless you as you give. Brother Lyle Hine, would you lead us in prayer for the offering?
Lord, thank you again for the opportunity and privilege we have to be together here, Lord. Thank you for the season you've given us to celebrate the birth of your Son, our Savior. Lord, take these tithes and offerings that are presented to you. Use them for the furtherance of your word, both here and abroad. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
stars are falling, hearts are breaking, how we need to hear from God. You've been promised, we've been waiting. Welcome, holy child. Welcome, holy child. Hope that you don't mind our manger. How I wish we would have known. But long awaited, holy stranger, make yourself at home. Please make yourself at home. Bring your peace into our violence. Bid our hungry souls be filled. Word now breaking, heaven's silence. Welcome to our world. Welcome to our world. Fragile fingers sent to heal us, tender brow prepared for thorn, tiny heart whose blood will save us, unto us is born, unto us is born. So wrap our injured flesh around you, breathe our air and walk our sod. Rob our sin and make us holy, perfect Son of God. Perfect Son of God. Welcome to our world. Take your Bibles tonight. Praise the Lord. You know, I always feel funny when I minister to the Lord and somebody claps for me. Because I certainly want the Lord to receive every ounce of glory and all of the honor. And I praise the Lord for what the message was about, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth sinless and undefiled. And he dwelt amongst sinful men and women. And he walked dirty roads, and he knew fatigue and pain and privation and suffering, all because he loves us. And I don't know about you, but that overwhelms me sometimes when I think about it. And I, for one, this Christmas, don't want to get through this season without some time just getting down on my knees and with some tears of great gratitude and humiliation. Let the Lord know that I never want to get over what he did for me. I just never want to get so used to it that I breeze through Christmas without tears in my eyes and some warmth in my heart, thinking about the love of God for me. Galatians chapter 4, for just a short time tonight, as we consider the Christmas story. We have dealt with many of the traditional passages, and perhaps this is considered by many to be a traditional Christmas portion of Scripture, perhaps not, but nevertheless not as well used as the passages in Matthew and Luke, and yet one that I think we need to consider tonight. When we started talking about Christmas some time ago, Timothy was very curious about it. And he would come to me and say, "Daddy, what's Christmas about?" And then I would tell him a little bit about what Christmas was about. And several hours later, he would come and say, "Daddy, what's Christmas about?" And I think he was waiting for me to tell him it's about toys and candy and fun and things like that. And I would tell him about the birth of Jesus. And many, many times for the last many, many weeks, I would hear a little boy come to his daddy and say, "Daddy, what's Christmas about?" And so tonight I want us to deal with that question. What's Christmas about? What's Christmas about? The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." May we pray for just a moment. Heavenly Father, in these next few moments, I pray that we might see Jesus. And may we, like little children, inquire, "What's Christmas about, Daddy?" And may you, as a loving Heavenly Father, by Thy Spirit, open the eyes of our spiritual understanding, that we might behold wondrous things from out of Your book. Lord, tonight, I pray that if there be one here that is uncertain that heaven is their eternal home, may tonight be the night of salvation for them. For we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus and for His glory. Amen. As I read this passage of Scripture, there were many things that came to my heart and my mind, and I have to confess that I was at portions of time struggling with being in the Christmas spirit. I don't know if anybody here tonight could testify that maybe you've gone to a shopping mall and didn't have too much fun trying to park. And maybe you've been to the grocery store and whatever it was that you were looking for was sold out. And maybe you've gone to the bank only to discover the gift that you wanted to buy, you didn't have quite the funds to purchase. Maybe you felt like you needed to do more, but you didn't have the time to do those things. And you were struggling to be in the so-called Christmas spirit. But can I tell you that the Christmas spirit really is the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ? And tonight, that's not something that we have to conjure up. It's not something that we can, from the outside, try to get within. It's something that is formed in our hearts at the very moment that Christ comes to take up residency, when we take Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and He can open our eyes to certain things as we ponder the question, what is Christmas about? What's Christmas about, Daddy? There are five words that I want to share with you from this passage of Scripture that I think portray beautifully what Christmas is all about. And the first thing I believe that we need to see is that it's about revelation. What do you mean, revelation? The Bible tells us when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. You see, for hundreds of years, some people call the period between the Testaments that period of silence, the silent years, that intertestamental period where they had heard a word from the prophets telling that one would come, that Messiah, the promised one, would come. And it seemed like the years, the centuries had passed, and there were many scoffers who said, "Where is the promise of His coming? The prophets said He would come, and now these hundreds of years later, we see nothing. But God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to reveal Himself, to be God, and to reveal God to man. The Word was made flesh." You see, He was made, it says, of a woman, made under the law. But sent by God, as the prophets had foretold 700 years before the birth of Jesus, that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, and his name would be called Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. First Christmas is about God revealing himself to man in the fullness of time. And I would say this to you, that God, in our purview, sometimes may seem to be slow, but he is always perfectly on time. He came in the fullness of time. I don't know about you, but there have been times where I've been filled with anxiety in my life, and I thought, God, I know something is your will, and I know that you would have me do something, but it seems like the resource or the enablement is not here, and God, I'm concerned about it, I'm worried about it. And yet in the fullness of time, at the very right time, the Lord revealed his hand to me. And I want you to understand that you maybe have faced what you consider to be the silent years in your life. Maybe a time where you looked and longed in the darkness. And now in the fullness of time, God is revealing his love to you through his word. The word was made flesh at Christmas and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. We who live in this world oftentimes think we know what love is, and yet sometimes we get so enraptured in the emotion of love that when someone doesn't exhibit those emotions continuously, and when someone doesn't return that love favorably as we hope, then we are disillusioned about love. But because we are disillusioned about it from a human perspective, God came to reveal to us what love really is. And the Bible tells us that God is love. And what I find about Christmas is that God revealed the personification of love. It was love with skin on that could wrap its arms around you and demonstrate that great love to you. I think the first word that answers the question, what's Christmas about, is revelation. God revealing himself to sinful man. Why did he do that? Well, the Bible says in verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law. The second word I find that tells us what Christmas is about is redemption. Sometimes we hear that word redemption, and I'm not sure if we fully understand what it means, but you see, the Lord has a twofold claim on my life. The Lord has a twofold claim on the life of every person in this room. You see, the Lord has made you. But sin had separated us from our Creator. And so the Lord, yearning and longing for us to be reconciled back to Him, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, purchased us back so that we may spend all of eternity together with Him. And we have been redeemed, or if you would, bought back. The Lord has purchased us back at a precious price. I think perhaps as a youngster in junior church, or maybe in vacation Bible school, we've heard the story about the little boy who made a boat, and he labored so many hours on that boat, and he carved it out, and he painted it, and he put sails on it, and he very painstakingly and lovingly poured himself into the making of a little boat. And he couldn't wait for the maiden voyage of that boat. And one day he came home from school, and it began to rain outside, and it came a gully washer, and as you know what happens, the gutters begin to back up, and the water was running, and they lived just atop of a little hill, and the gutters were just flowing, and he thought, what a great opportunity to try out my boat. And so time and again, the little boy would take his pride and joy, that little boat, and put it in the waters of that gutter, and it would go sailing down towards the bottom of the hill, and the little boy boy would run down and grab his boat, and he had so much fun going up and down that hill with that little boat, and it navigated those waters so well. But one time, as he was running down the hill to get the boat, he stumbled and he fell. And before the little boy could reach the boat went into the sewer and was washed away. And the boy was crestfallen, brokenhearted because his pride and joy was gone. One day, the little boy was walking around downtown, not far from where he lived, and he went by a secondhand store, and he looked in the window, and lo and behold, right there in the window was the little boat that that boy had crafted with his own hands. And he went running into the store, and he said to the storekeeper, "Mister, that's my boat in the window." And the man said, "Well, that may be your boat, young man, but it's going to cost you $3 to buy that boat." The little boy went through his pockets, and he barely had 50 cents in change in his pockets. And the man said, "When you bring back $3, I'll let you have the boat, young man." So the little boy went home, and he said, "Don't sell that boat to anybody." He went home and he began to mow lawns and collect cans and do everything he could to scrape together $3. And finally, when he got the $3, he went into the store and he told the man, "I want to buy the boat that's in the window." The man said, $3, sir." And the little boy pulled $3 in pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters out of his pocket and put it on the counter, and the man counted it out. Sure enough, there was $3 in change. And the man gave the little boy the boat. And the little boy was heard to say as he walked out of the store, "Now you're mine twice. Once because I made you. Twice because I bought you." And I want you to know that Christmas is about redemption. And it is as though the Lord is saying, "Now you're mine twice. Once because I made you, twice because I bought you with my own blood, so that we could once again have fellowship that was destroyed by sin." What's Christmas all about? Well, the Lord sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. He revealed Himself to us in the person of Jesus. He showed us what love is. And then it's about redemption. The Lord God drawing us back nigh again after the fullness of time, purchasing us with blood. And then the Bible says, not only to redeem them that were under the law, but that we might receive the adoption of sons. I want you to notice the third word that tells us what Christmas is all about, and that is receive or receiving. First, we see revelation. The Lord revealed His love to us by coming at the appointed time, at the perfect time. He redeemed us. We're His twice. Once because He made us, and twice because He bought us. But then the Bible says that we might receive the adoption of sons. And until Jesus came and gave us this message, the idea of mankind receiving anything but judgment and punishment from God was a foreign concept to mankind. Because sin had placed a heavy yoke, a yoke of iron upon the shoulders of mankind. And because of man's sin, we were destined not to receive, but to try to achieve God's favor through the keeping of the law. And I want to just tell you this. There are many tonight that are on pilgrimages. There are many tonight who are lighting candles and saying prayers and doing deeds of charity and benevolence, hoping to achieve some kind of favor with God through what they do. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. I'll never forget, 3 summers ago, a man rode up on a Harley-Davidson motorcycle, about 6'3", 260 pounds or so, a big beard, longer hair. And he came into the office and he said, I need to talk to the pastor. And so I was in and I showed him into the office and he sat down. And And he said, "Pastor, I just want to talk to you about something." He said, "I'm not a very nice person." He said, "I've done a lot of pretty bad things in my lifetime and things that I'm really ashamed of." And he said, "I've gone to a lot of churches trying to find out what can I do about it. And they tell me I've got to do this and that, but I feel like that I can't do enough to get forgiven." He said, "I just came from a Mormon church. And you know what, Pastor? I found out at that church, there's no forgiveness for me. What am I going to do?" Well, I said, "I've got great news for you." And I began to take that man through the Word of God and show him how that where sin abounded, there did grace much more abound. Here was a man who was willing to do what was necessary and to work hard to try to achieve forgiveness. But the truth is, there's not a soul in here tonight, yea, a soul on planet Earth, that has the ability to achieve forgiveness from God. And so, because we could never achieve it, the Lord said, "I'm going to give it to you. Just receive it. Because you cannot achieve it, I'll give it to you. Just receive it." That we might receive the adoption of sons. The Lord wanted to give to us what we could never achieve. Even in the songs of Christmas, there is a latent message about achievement. Because Santa Claus is coming to town. And NORAD is tracking him to prove it. Right? And he's going to find out who's naughty and who's nice. And some of you might get some coal in your stocking this Christmas. Because I've been watching you. And I, you know, Santa called me to say, "Hey, you know, you're shepherding that part of the pasture. You know, I'm checking up on so-and-so to see whether they've been naughty or nice." Coal. For lots of you. So, but listen. Just in the latent message there. Well, you know, I got to tell you something. Timothy told me about trains one day, and he said, "Dad, let me tell you something. If there's no coal in the tender, the locomotive just won't go." So, anyway, we're going to go far together. But listen, just in that message, there's the latent theme that you've got to do something even to get favor. Friends, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And He wants to give you a gift called eternal life. You see, what's Christmas all about? It's about receiving. It's not about achieving. It's not about who's been naughty or who's been nice. It's not about some great big scale of justice with God. It's about Jesus offering a gift to you and simply in faith as a little child, you receiving it, believing that that's the only way that you can live forever, forgiven of every sin. Oh, that big old biker, about 25 minutes into our meeting, began to weep. Big body shaking, face red, going through the Kleenex. And he prayed like a little child and said, "Lord Jesus, would you come into my heart and forgive me of all of my sin? I've been wicked, and nobody can forgive me but you." I'll never forget that day. And I would tell you this, I don't know who some of you are, or where you have been, or what you have done, but God does, and there is forgiveness with Him. Praise the Lord, He's taken us from the law, which was an achieving system, and He's placed us under grace, which is now a receiving system, to receive us, and so that we might receive the adoption of sons. The fourth thing I find in answer to the question, what's Christmas about, is relationship. Relationship. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean this. The Bible says that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Lord wants to have a relationship with you. And here's the kind of relationship He wants to have with you. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Would you just behold what manner of love He's bestowed upon us? And in the Bible, we find this word adoption. And that is not adoption as we know adoption in our culture today, that perhaps someone will go to an orphanage and find a child who's not wanted, or maybe go through some adoption agency and find someone that no one wants. But rather, adoption in the Hebrew culture was that right, if you would, whereby a child went from being just a child to becoming an adult, a full heir that could never be disowned and that could never be disinherited. And I want to tell you something. When the Lord said, I'm going to send Jesus at Christmas, it was at the perfect time, in the fullness of time, because He wanted to reveal what love was to mankind, and He did so, that He could redeem us back to Himself and have a twofold claim on you, once because He made you and twice because He bought you, and also because He didn't want you to have to continue working to achieve, but He wanted to give to you so that you would simply receive from Him. But it came through a relationship that said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Through a relationship that said, Him that cometh to me in John 6, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4 that we have received the adoption of sons. In Romans chapter 8, we read there about the adoption of sons. Here in Galatians 4, we read about the adoption of sons. And what that means is when you and I get saved, the Lord brings us into the family as a full adult heir that can never be disowned and can never be disinherited. And it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done since you came into the family. Guess what? God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, whereby you can cry, Abba, Father. And at any time, you can pick yourself up like the prodigal son that we read of in the Gospels and go back to the Father and wrap your arms around the Father. And your Father will say, kill the fatted calf and put a robe upon his back and put a ring upon his finger and shoes upon his feet, because my son, which was lost, is found. And friend, today, understand this. Christmas is all about relationship. God wanting to have a personal relationship with you. And I want you to know something. He wants that relationship to last forever. Forever and ever. Amen. He wants to have a relationship with you. I know that there are some folks here tonight that are heavy-hearted because they're facing a Christmas without someone that they love. A relationship has been interrupted through death or infirmity or through other things. And can I tell you this, that if your loved one is with the Lord, Jesus Himself wants to fill you up and be your all in all. And it'll be just a few moments in the economy of God. It'll be the fullness of time when you'll be united with Him who has a twofold claim on you, and united with your loved ones who died in Christ. It'll just be a few moments. What's Christmas all about, Daddy? Well, Christmas is about God revealing His love to us by sending His Holy Son to take upon a robe of flesh so that it may be laid upon a cross. What's Christmas all about? It's about that Son being laid on a cross to give us redemption. What's it all about? Now redeemed, we no longer have to try to earn God's favor. We just simply receive it because He's paid the price in full on Calvary. And then He invites you into relationship. We're no longer servants, but sons. And if a son, an heir of God through Christ. Lastly, what's Christmas all about? I think this next word is what it should be about, and altogether too often is anything but. And it's this word, rest. Rest. The Lord has done it all. And He who is also called Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of the Sabbath. Sabbath means a cessation of labor or rest. Jesus has become our rest. And here's what He says to you. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest on your souls. You know what it's like to go to bed at night and to sleep for 8 hours and to wake up in the morning and feel like that you've been run over by a truck because you went to bed with the weight of the world on your shoulders and you woke up with it still there. And the Lord says to you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. By the way, He's the only one that can give it to you.
Amen.
And friends, I believe that's what Christmas is about. The Lord came so you need not work under the law, but so that you could rest in the finished work of Jesus who came at Christmas. Praise the Lord. I got to tell you, it just doesn't get any better than that. What a gift. And friend, if you have never yet received that gift that has given your soul rest that it craves for, come to Jesus tonight. Heavenly Father, thank You for the privilege of sharing this great message of what Christmas is all about. And I pray, Lord, that we would never get over the great sacrifice that You made in sending Your only begotten Son. Our heads are bowed just for a moment. No one is looking about. Perhaps there's one in the room tonight that would say, Pastor, I've listened to the message, and I'm not absolutely certain that if I died tonight that I would spend forever in heaven with God, but I'm concerned about it. Pray for me. I don't want you to embarrass me, Pastor. It's Christmas Eve, but I sure appreciate it if you'd remember me.